This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2045. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded July 30th, Antarctica, Australia, Bolivia, Canada, China, Congo DR, Cuba, Djibouti, Europe, France, Germany, Guinea, Ireland, Korea, South and North, Madagascar, Mexico, Myanmar, Netherlands, Northern Mariana Islands, Solomon Islands, Spain, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Turkey, USA, and the Propagation Outlook.
Standard disclaimer. Not direct, but via remotes in Brazil, we've been successfully monitoring the special broadcast from LRA 36, Antarctica, 15475.98, reduced carrier USB, and have already received NICE EQSLs, not only direct from Antarctica, but from Ryan Buenos Aires, which has been involved in these, what they call USB tests, although they've already been on USB as long as I can remember. Manuel Mendes in Spain has news about their upcoming broadcast plans. From the second Saturday of August, LRA 36 probably will be on air every Saturday, repeating the Wednesday program, Corazón Antártico. It has to be decided if it will be on air for 2 hours, that show lasts, or 24 hours, filling with music, like the last USB transmission. Yes, on Saturday, July 25th, they just kept it going all night, until almost 24 hours later on Sunday. Continues on Wednesday, July 29th, there was no program, like on July 15th and 22nd, due to announcer's holiday. The next Corazón Antártico program would be on the air Wednesday, August 5th, and then those repeats on Saturdays. Oh, they don't specify the times here, but they have been for the Wednesday program approximately, subject to extension, 14 to 16 UT, and the Saturday program starting at 1700, but on the air earlier. Matt Francis in Australia sends what he calls an interesting and timely op-ed from former Australian public broadcasting executive Malcolm Long on our loss of influence through broadcasting in our region. Also comments by the former U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates on the decline of U.S. international broadcasting. That was from the Melbourne Age and the Sydney Morning Herald of 28 July. Its headline, "If Wars of the Future Are About Influence, Australia Needs to Be Better Armed." It starts, "Australia's disappearing media presence in the Asia-Pacific makes us increasingly vulnerable as we wrestle with our deteriorating relations with China and seeks to strengthen our engagement with other countries. Effective international communications by Australia have gone missing in action." Since 2013, following substantial government funding cuts, the ABC has reduced its spending on Radio Australia and its international television and online services by more than two-thirds to about $11 million a year. While China is investing billions in new global communications initiatives, Russia, Japan, Germany, France, and BBC each spend hundreds of millions annually. In the past, Radio Australia was recognized globally as an almost textbook model of how to do multilingual international broadcasting, successfully blending entertainment, education, and highly valued independent news coverage. At its height, tens of millions of people around our region trusted RA to provide an honest, objective view of what was going on in their countries and the world. I interject, of course, now one can only hear Radio Australia on shortwave if someone else happens to relay it, such as maybe New Zealand or even Vanuatu. He continues, "Our government would do well to heed the wisdom of Robert Gates, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, 2006-11, who served in the Republican Bush administration and is retained by the Democrat President Barack Obama. As a thinker on geopolitics, Gates commands uncommon respect across the U.S. political divide. In his just published book, Exercise of Power, American Failures, Successes, and a New Path Forward in the Post-Cold War World, Gates highlights the crucial importance of strategic communications in America's contest with global rivals. He noted that Congress had eliminated the U.S. Information Agency, and that more recently, influential U.S. international broadcasting services had basically been dismantled. He said, "You know the Russians interfere with our politics all the time and try to divide us. Why aren't we going into the Russians, getting past their firewalls, and talking about the corruption of Putin and his henchmen? We just don't do that kind of thing, but it's going to be very necessary. Hans-Jörg Biener writes, Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil wonders about a station on 4700 with weak reception. He heard it on July 23rd and 24th between 22 and midnight UT, but cannot get an ID, and wonders if it was the Bolivian which used to be here, Radio San Miguel in Riberalta. But Hans-Jörg says last time it was on the air was in 2015, so it would be surprising if it's back. Note that in Europe, 4700 is used by a free radio station, Mystery Radio 21. Dan Robinson also points out that according to Facebook reports, some weeks ago, 4700 turned out to be Mystery Radio, so don't assume it's Bolivia. And then later on, Lucio also assumes this is Mystery 21, heard between 2310 and 2329 with pop dance music on July 27th. Medium Wave 580 in Edmonton, Alberta, used to be occupied by a public radio station at the University of Alberta, CKUA, but a few years ago they gave up on Medium Wave. Now another station has taken its place. In the IRCA list, Mike Cherry, VE7SKA, in Salt Spring Island, BC, says on July 25th, Last night I heard Edmonton's new South Asian station on 580, CHAH, Radio Sur Sangam. I spell S-U-R-S-A-N-G-A-M. Testing with music and IDs. It's running 10 kilowatts with different patterns day and night. It will broadcast predominantly in Punjabi, programmed by the same source as the nighttime programming on the 1440 station CKJR. So it should be an easy target to identify due to its ethnic programming, but they were initially having some transmitting problems. He says it's a brand new facility, no connection whatsoever, technically or any other way, with the old CKUA. Nigel Pimblett in Alberta replies, They've been intermittent, lots of audio dropouts, and even open carrier. Not sure they've been running full power yet. Deneb Radio DX via Rusty X, Yuri Loburets in Novosibirsk reports on DRM broadcasts from China. Clear here, but part of this may be based on an article by Hans Johnson in Radio World. China is gradually developing DRM broadcasting. Trial domestic broadcasts in this format began in 2012, and continuous broadcasts of CNR1's program began on shortwave in 2018. They were and are still being conducted with good quality in mono. In 2019, transmissions began in stereo DRM via a 30 kilowatt transmitter in Beijing on 6030 from 0600 to 1805 UT. And in the spring of 2020, a stereo DRM signal went from Dongfang in the south of China on 17770 from midnight 53 until 0900 UT. I interject, Dongfang is also a major jamming site. He continues, the Chinese did not stop there. Not long ago, the Fraunhofer Institute of Germany developed a new DRM format with higher sound quality called XHE-AAC. This has been used on several medium-wave transmitters in India for about 2 years, and now also Radio Marti, since MABE, has been using it in HF in Spanish toward Cuba, that is on 7345 between 17 and 02 UT. In June, China also began broadcasting domestic programs in a new format through a 30-kilowatt transmitter in Dongfang on four frequencies at different times of the day. He says, there in Novosibirsk, I was able to receive and decode their transmission on 17770 around 0830. Until recently, the popular free PC application Dream lacked compatibility with the new format. The developers could do this, but then it will become paid since the decoder is patented by the Fraunhofer Institute. There is a craftsman who made a Dream variant for this format. It has a number of disadvantages, but is free. On July 29th, Manuel Mendez in Spain reports about Congo's Radio Kahuzi on 6210.2. It's been out of air for weeks. I've contacted the station, and this is their reply. We are moving our shortwave antenna and hope to do better soon in the evenings. It is off and on during the day also, so we pray a lot for power. Dumb things always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, but I'll spare you the details this week, much like those last week among others. Ever on July 26th, I said this, Patria o suerte, pensaremos. I'm still awaiting photographic evidence that anyone has scrawled this, my contrarian motto, on a surface anywhere inside Cuba. For those not understanding Spanish at all, I explain the original motto is Patria o muerte venceremos, which means fatherland or death, we shall overcome. While my version says fatherland or luck or fortune, we'll think about it. On Nouvelle-Brunswick, Richard Langley was listening to the new clandestine La Voix de Djibouti, which is Sundays only at 14 to 15, on 17870, but was hearing an ID which wasn't entirely clear, some kind of abbreviation. Ron Howard points out from the logo on their website, as Jean-Michel Aubier explains from France, they're saying Radio LVD, that is the abbreviation LVD pronounced in French for La Voix de Djibouti. As mentioned last week, Channel 292, the private station in Germany, is trying a different frequency from August 1st, 9670. Instead of 7440, its second transmitter, I guess the first one stays on 6070. And from the Isle of Music and Uncle Bill's Melting Pot was looking forward to testing via this, starting Friday, August 7th, between 18 and 20 UT. However, Ivo Ivanov points out that there's quite a conflict during the first hour, 18 to 19, when China Radio International is scheduled on that same frequency in Persian. Ivo suggests that Uncle Bill should move his two-hour broadcast earlier to 16 until 18 UT. However, I see in HFCC that Sudan is also registered during those very 2 hours, but it's obviously wooden. Of course, Uncle Bill is eager for reports about how well this is getting out in any direction. I rather doubt it'll be making a listenable signal into North America since it's only 10 kilowatts non-directional. Another station reported by Manuel Mendez Spain as out of air as of July 29th is Guinea 9650 for at least 10 days. From Birmingham, Middle UK, John Collins tells me July 24th, much improved reception night and day from RTE Radio 2, Republic of Ireland, on Longwave 252. I guess they've been doing work on the mast. On Asilo Mar State Beach, California, Ron Howard reports, on observed frequencies jumping around from the clandestines from South to North Korea, as of July 27th, Monday. VOP had best reception at 11:15 on 3480, also on 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520 and 6600. The other one, VOH, was on 3985, 4880, 5995, 6245, 6350, and 9095 at 1128, with the usual English language lesson, but mostly in Korean. The third station with only one frequency, Voice of Freedom, 6045, was completely blocked by super strong white noise jamming from North Korea at 11:23. But the next day, July 28th, there was a major change. Strong jamming moved away from 6045, leaving VOF in the clear. Very good news. But now that jamming has returned to the former 6135, which killed any chance for reception of Madagascar Long Path. He had been recently enjoying that, while Voice of Freedom on 6045 was playing Music by the Beach Boys. Bonhard also reports on Myanmar Radio 5985. Friday, July 24th at 12:50, it was time for another 2 5-minute editions of Learning English with BBC Burmese. These are aired on Wednesday and Friday during those 10 minutes. The first show presented by Tom and Tim, while the second show was with Tim and Rob, saying too much social media has a negative effect on health and so forth. Both were fairly readable. Via international vacuum, internet, medium, high, very high, and super high frequencies, World of Radio 2045. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener reports from Germany. On 21 July, Mike Radio, M-I-K-E, applied to join the High Frequency Coordination Conference, now listed on the website under M-I-K. So far, it's broadcasted on the upper end of the medium wave band and the 3.9 or 4.9 megahertz range. Reception reports accepted at the website mike-radio.nl, quickly confirmed with an undetailed EQSL. He had heard them back on 29 March at 1730 on 3905 with oldies in English and Dutch. But Eve Leonoff says the new HFCC registered schedule for the current season shows 3940 with 1 kilowatt at 14 to 22 UT in Dutch on Saturdays from July 25th. Tentatively, in the next season, they plan to use 6130 on Sundays from 06 until 12. And there the transmitter site is shown as HEE, which stands for Herde, H-E-E-R-D-E. I happen to log a Cantonese broadcast from Radio Free Asia on the 13 MHz band on two different frequencies during the same hour. July 23rd on 13795.049 and July 29th on 13755.046 with their typical offset plus frequencies from U.S. AGM on Tinian in the Northern Mariana Islands. Listings in the AUKI NDXC roster show that it depends on the day of the week. 13795 on Tuesday and Thursday, 13755 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I suppose this is to keep the jammers hopping, except the Chakam do not bother to jam broadcasts in the insignificant minority language Cantonese. REE Spain can spare only one sesquihour per week for English broadcasts, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 to 22:30. 9690 to North America, among others. However, on Monday, July 27th, I was surprised to hear a repeat of a program first aired 3 weeks earlier, the one about a fusion of flamenco and jazz by Daniel Garcia, introduced by Justin Coe. We haven't had any reports lately of Solomon Islands, perhaps because of noisy summer propagation in our hemisphere, but Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil does report it on 5020. July 25th at 09:58 until 10:16, with minimalist folk music and announcements in English. In the British DS Club, Tony Borum reports hearing on July 24th, before 16:49 UT, a continuous loop of an English voice announcement on 7410, saying normal service would resume as soon as possible. Dave Kenny replies it's possibly the BBC Bengali service via Sri Lanka, scheduled there during that half hour. Later, via Alan Pennington, Joe's Jacobs reported on WRTHFB 26 July. According to info received, one shortwave transmitter of SLBC Trincomalee has failed on 16 July, so transmissions of SLBC on 9695, 11905, and many others of Adventist World Radio are off the air since then. Eve Wivanoff reports that iRadio EYA, target broadcast for South Sudan, has extended its broadcast by 1 hour for COVID-19 information, effective August 1st. It's on the same frequencies as the original hour, but from different transmitter site. Monday through Friday at 04 to 05, 7340 via Vatican. But the additional broadcast is daily at 05 to 06 on 7340 via Madagascar. And in the evening, the original broadcast, Monday through Friday, 16 to 17 on 15410 via France. The additional broadcast is earlier at 15 to 16, 15410, via Madagascar Daily. It's mainly in Juba Arabic, but several other languages, including some English. Ron Howard replies on UT Wednesday, July 29th, iRadio 7340, heard from 0434 until cut off in mid-sentence at 457, was already airing nothing but complete coverage about COVID-19. In vernacular, with announcer taking many on-air phone calls. July 28th at midnight 54 on 6993 and many other observations, I hear at least two JBA carriers beating against each other, which means they're on very slightly different frequencies. So it's time for another occasional log of the presumed propagation research stations in Florida. In April 2016, Terry Kruger sent me FCC info about the license for this, which may have been renewed and renewed year after year, if that's still what we're hearing. The call sign was WH2XWF. The licensee called ASTRA, A-S-T-R-A, which stands for Atmospheric and Space Technology Research Associates. There were five station locations in Cross City, Dixie County, Hawthorne, Putnam County, Inverness and Homosassa, Citrus County, and Keystone in Hillsborough County. Each of those licensed for the same four frequencies, all with 164 watts ERP, 4443, 4647, 6769, and 6993. They may be running open carriers only without IDs or anything else, but they're too weak to be sure. I wonder if anyone is still hearing the same ones. Just in, a reply from Martin Potter, just south of Ottawa, Canada. He's been tuning these frequencies for two nights, some of them, and he's found three or four carriers at 10 hertz intervals, around 4443 and 6993. That is 29 July, before and after 02 UT, and 30 July after 02 until 03. They were very weak, but clearly visible on the Spectrum Lab waterfall display. He says the frequencies were measured without difficulty. The signal on the whole kilohertz was always the strongest, not sure why. Clara Lisenspreken forwards an official press release from the U.S. Agency for Global Media July 30th, headlined, CEO PAC launches investigation into pro-Biden VOA content and U.S. election interference. This transgressed the VOA charter, it says. Best practices guide, journalistic code, and agency standards and principles, and might have constituted U.S. election interference and a violation of federal law. It's about a video that can only be described as an election advertisement for Joe Biden, which appeared on VOA's Urdu website and on its social media accounts. It was branded with the VOA logo for its duration. It promoted a voter mobilization campaign called Million Muslim Votes, highlighted Biden making election promises to Muslim American community. It doesn't say just when this happened, but Steve McDonald in British Columbia says, seems to me if any violations have occurred, they fall on PAC's shoulders since he's the guy in charge now. Maybe he best keep quiet. I say I hope PAC will be just as vigilant in seeking out anything which could be considered pro-Trump on VOA. Alan Weiner Worldwide, July 25th, answered my question about why WBCQ number 6 has been missing from 9330 so much. He said it's been off 6 or 7 hours in the daytime, while riggers and crew have been working to replace supports for transmission lines. In the winter winds, they had been too loose, allowing the lines to short out. Last week, I reported that IBOC digital noise from WSCR 670 Chicago had resumed, interfering with adjacent channels on July 18th. But when I checked on July 24th, they were gone again, and may they stay off. Also last week, I noted that KAAY 1090 Little Rock, Arkansas, was providing a dead-air DX window at 0600 UT for 5 minutes, allowing XEAU or something else to be heard on that frequency. However, by July 24th, they had resumed modulating, filling the top of the hour not with news, but with a string of PSAs. July 25th, between 1954 and 2051 UT, I had another sporadic FM DX opening. I mixed in Mexican stations with the American stations I logged under USA and NON, but here are the ones of more interest from Mexico. 95.3 XHMH in Mérida, Yucatán, Mexico. What was very surprising was that they had an announcement in French, but it was about Yucatán and then back into Spanish. Could there be lots of visitors there from Quebec? It's called Candela FM. You may recall that has the shortwave connection years ago with 6105. On 93.5, what's believed to be Estéreo Saltillo in Coahuila, XHQC. Most of the U.S. stations in the opening were from Florida, Georgia, and Texas. On the ABDX list, some questions have arisen about the murky distinction between AM stations and FM translators. Scott Feibusch replies, legally, a translator for an AM station can only operate if the parent AM station has been on the air within the last 24 hours. This is meant to allow for daytime-only AM stations to have 24-hour FM translators. In theory, for translators of full-time AM stations, where the AM doesn't matter for real-world listening, you could reduce the AM to the minimum required operating hours and keep the translator on 24/7. In theory, the letter of the law could be read to suggest that once the AM is signed off for the night, the translator doesn't have to give any legal ID at all. In practice, most, if not all, still give the legal ID for the primary AM station all night. As far as I know, FCC has never explicitly addressed this question, nor this one. If you have an AM with multiple translators, do they all have to be carrying the same programming after the AM is signed off for the night? Say on a Friday night where multiple local schools are playing football games. Legally, a booster or translator shouldn't be on the air at all if the primary is off the air. Legally, there are several ways to ID a translator. One is the oral ID, such as W246XX in any town, read three times daily within specific windows. You can also do an inaudible FSK Morse ID hourly and not have to do an oral ID at all. Scott says, I advise my clients to set their translators up that way. Telling a listener they're hearing W298CH means nothing at all to them. Why add clutter to a broadcast? In practice, plenty of translators just don't ID at all, FSK, oral, or otherwise. In practice, there's some non-zero number of AMs that have their translators running while the AM is silent for extended periods. In practice, there are translators for HD2s and boosters that are on for months or years while their primaries are not. There's simply not enough Enforcement Bureau staff out there to fully address the problem. A lot of higher priorities for the limited staff that is on the job. Michael Richard in Wyoming replies, it seems there is so much that we talk about that the answer is always the FCC has bigger fish to fry. They are too understaffed to enforce things like this. Okay, so then what are they busy enforcing these days if they don't care about not IDing? On after sunset, not changing power, on without a license, off without notifying them, translator booster compliance. Scott Flybush replies, they still respond when there are complaints of interference, either from other agencies, especially FAA, or from other broadcasters. Keep in mind the Commission regulates a lot of areas outside broadcasting. Enforcement Bureau staff track down cell phone interference, two-way radio issues, etc. It in Colorado replies, it looks to me like there is no regulation either way for allowing an AM station's translator to continue to operate if the AM goes silent with a special temporary authorization, whether it is for 2 weeks or 2 years. Without a doubt, a lot or maybe even most AM station owners who now have a translator would love to be able to shut off the AM and hand in the license. But since the FCC won't go along with that, the next best thing for them is to find a reason to get an STA to turn off the AM for as long as they can get by with it, as long as they can continue to operate the translator. Another FCC loophole. Even Michael Kellott forwards a notice for proposed rulemaking at the FCC, which might prove to be important. Let's see if we can follow what they're saying. It's headed comment and reply comment date set for broadcast internet NPRM docket number 20-145. The comment date is August 17th, the reply comment date August 31st. On June 9th, the FCC adopted a declaratory ruling, an MPRM, seeking comment on whether and, if so, how to clarify or modify existing broadcast rules in order to expand the potential for broadcast spectrum capacity to support new services beyond traditional over-the-air video in ways that will complement the nation's burgeoning 5G network. Services we refer to as broadcast internet services as part of the transition to ATSC 3. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued July 27th. Geomagnetic field expected to be quiet through August 22nd, with ANK indices of 5 and 2. Solar flux declining from 71 July 28th to 68 onwards from August 3rd. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 2045, with a standard disclaimer.